Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tava Pari
ye
charanti akila sattva niketataya ta uta pada kramanti aviganaya shiro nirite parivasyase parivasyase pashun
iva
gira
vibhutan
api tams Tvayi krita sahurida kalu punanti nate vimukta. Tava pari ye charanti akila sattva niketataya. Tauta padakramantya vighanaya shiro nireti. Parivasya se pashun iva gira vibhudhan apitams. Tvayi krita saurida kalau ponanti nate vimukha. Tava pari ye charanti akila sattva niketataya. Ta uta padakramantya vighanaya shiro nirite. Parivayase pashun iva gira vibhutan apitams. Tvayi krita saurida kalau ponanti nate vimukta.
Who worship
Akila
of all
sattva
created entities
Niketataya
as the shelter
Te
they
Uta
simply
Pada
with their feet
Akramanti
step upon
Abhighanaya
disregarding
Shira
the head
Nirite
of death
Parivayase
you tie up
Pashun
Iva
like animals
Gira
with your words
of the Vedas
Vibhudhan
wise
Api
even
Tan
them
Tvayi
to whom
Krita
those who have made
Sauhrida
friendship
Kalu
indeed
Punanti
purify
Na
not
Ye
who
Vimukha
inimical.
Translation: the devotees who worship you as the shelter of all beings disregard death and place their feet on his head. But with the words of the Vedas, you bind the non-devotees like animals. though they be vastly learned scholars. It is your affectionate devotees who can purify themselves and others, not those who are inimical to you. Purport. Personified Vedas have now set aside the erroneous philosophies of several contending schools. The Asad Utpati Vada are the Vaisheshikas, who presume a material source of creation. The Sad Vinasha Vada of the Nyayakas, who deprive the liberated soul of consciousness. The Shagunatva Veda Vada of the Shankyas, who isolate the soul from all his apparent qualities. The Vipana Vada of the Mimamsakas, who contend the soul to eternal involvement in the mundane commerce of karma, and the Vaivartavad of the Mayavadis, who denigrate the soul's real life in this world as a hallucination. Having rejected all these ideas, the personified Vedas now present the philosophy of devotional service, Paricharyavad. The Vaishnavas who accept this philosophy teach that the jiva soul is an atomic particle of spiritual personality, who possesses minute knowledge, is not independent, and has no material qualities. Being minute, he is prone to come under the control of the material energy, where he suffers the pains of material life. He can end this suffering and regain the shelter of the Supreme Lord's divine internal energy only by rendering devotional service to the Lord, not by engaging in fruitive work, mental speculation, or any other process. As Lord Krishna says in his own words, Bhaktyaham ekaya grahaya shradhayatma priyasatam bhakti punantimam nishta swapaka api sambhavat. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees, who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog-eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Bhagavatam 11:14-21. Devotees of the Personality of Godhead worship him as the shelter, niketa, of everything that exists, akila sattva. Moreover, these Vaishnavas themselves can be called Akhila Sattva Niketa, in the sense that their abode and shelter is the philosophic truth of the reality, Sattvam, of both the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, Sripad Madhvacharya, in his Vedanta Sutra Bhashya, quotes the Shruti mantra, Satyam Hyevedam Vishvam Asrijata. He created this world as real. And the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.11 refers to the Supreme Lord as Pradhana Pumbhyam Naradeva Satyakrit, the creator of a real universe of matter and entities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out yet another more confidential meaning of Akhila Sattva Niketa, that the Supreme Lord's personal abodes are in no way kila or imperfect, and so are called Vaikuntha, the realms free of anxiety and restriction. Vaishnavas whose devotional service the Lord has kindly accepted are so sure of his protection that they no longer fear death, which becomes for them just another easy step on the way back to their eternal home. But are only devotees of the Supreme Lord eligible for liberation from the fear of death? Why are all other mystics and learned scholars disqualified? Hear the Shruti's answer. Anyone who is vimukta, who has not turned his face towards the Lord with hopeful expectation of his mercy, is bound up in illusion by the same words of the Vedas that enlighten the surrendered devotees. The Vedas themselves warn, tasya vaktan, Tantir namani dhamani tasyedam vacha tanya namabhir dhamabhi sarvasitam. The threads of this transcendental sound form a string of sacred names, but also a set of binding ropes. With the rope of their injunctions, the Vedas tie up this entire world, leaving all beings fettered by false designations. The reality of the soul and supersoul is aparoksha, perceivable, but only to one with transcendental vision. Philosophers whose hearts are impure mistakenly presume that this truth is instead paroksha, that it can only be speculated upon and never experienced directly. The knowledge of such thinkers may help them dispel certain doubts and misconceptions about the lesser qualities of reality, but it is useless for transcending material illusion and approaching the absolute truth. As a general rule, only the devotees who faithfully render loving service to the Supreme Lord up to the point of complete purification receive his grace in the form of aparoksha jnana, direct realization of his greatness and wonderful compassion. The personality of Godhead is, of course, free to award his mercy even to the undeserving, as he does when he personally kills offensive demons. But he is much less inclined to bless Mayavadis and other atheistic philosophers. One should not think, however, that the devotees of Vishnu are ignorant because they may not be expert in philosophic analysis and argument. The soul's perfect realization is to be gained not through his own efforts at mental speculation, but by receiving the Lord's favor. This we hear from Vedic authority, Katha Upanishad 2.2.23 and Mukunda Upanishad 3.2.3. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanum svam. The Supreme Self cannot be reached by argumentation, or by applying one's independent brain power, or by studying many scriptures. Rather, he alone can achieve the Supreme, achieve the Self, whom the Self chooses to favor. To that person, the Self reveals his own true personal form. Elsewhere, the Shruti describes the devotee's success. Dehante deva param brahma tarakam vyachase. Vyachaste. At the end of this body's life, the sanctified soul perceives the Supreme Lord just as clearly as if seeing the stars in the sky. And in this last statement, Shvetasvatara Upanishad 6.23 offers this encouragement to aspiring Vaishnavas. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata gurao, tasyaite katita hyarta, prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, and all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami cites another verse of Sri Shvetasvatara Upanishad, 4.7-8 and 4.13. Jushtam yada pashyantyan anyam isham asya mahi manam iti vita shokam richok share pare vyoman yasmin deva adhi vishve nishedhu yastam veda kim aricha karishyan yati ya itad vidhus ta ime samasate. The Supreme Lord is he who is referred to by the mantras of the Rig Veda, who resides in the topmost eternal sky and who elevates his saintly devotees to share that same position. One who has developed pure love for him and realizes his uniqueness then appreciates his glories and is free from sorrow. What further good can the Rig mantras bestow on one who knows that Supreme Lord? All who come to know him achieve the supreme destination. Yo vedanam adipo tasmir loka adrishdrita ya isho shva diparas chatushparas tasmai devaya havisha vidhema. To him who is the master of all the Vedas, in whom all the planets rest, who is the lord of all known creatures, both the two-legged and the four-legged. To him, the personality of Godhead, we offer our worship with oblations of ghee. Referring to those who desire liberation, Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Tapantu tapai prapantu paravatad atantu tirtani patantu chagaman yajantu jagher vivadhantu vadher harim vina naiva mritim taranti. Let them suffer austerities, throw themselves from mountaintops, travel to holy places, study the scriptures, worship with fire sacrifices, and argue various philosophies. But without Lord Hari, they will never cross beyond death. So here is very nice. This is the prayers of the personified Vedas. Technically speaking, the prayers of the personified Vedas are the original Bhagavatam. Everything in the Bhagavatam expands from this chapter. So this is the core of the Bhagavatam. So all the philosophy, everything is explained here. Now, we have many points that are seemingly contradictory, but at the same time are not, because there's one theme. Everything's coming from Krishna. Everything is to be seen in relationship to Krishna. So if it's not seen in relationship to Krishna, it's useless. And if it's seen in relationship to Krishna, then it is useful. Right? So now, this then gives us, you could have someone who follows the Veda, but sees it in relationship to the Lord, that's proper. Then you have someone who follows the Veda, doesn't see it in relationship to the Lord, so that's not very useful. Then you have those who don't see according to the Veda, see it in relationship to the Lord, that's nice. Then you have those who don't see according to the Veda, don't see it in relation to the Lord, that is also absolutely useless. Therefore, it's mentioned about these personalities who are obviously human, and about the others, the chatushpada, those who are animals. Right? Because humans follow the Vedas, animals don't. Right? So that's the position. So, therefore, the connection to Krishna is the essential point. If it's connected, it becomes wonderful. If it's not connected, it's useless. Now, the Veda is given by Krishna. He is the authority, because he says he binds you by the Veda. So even if you don't believe in the Veda, you don't follow the Veda, you're Mr. Modern Man, you're still bound by the Veda. Because Veda is law. Veda is God's direction. Veda is knowledge. So, but here specifically, because all these other platforms have been removed already, so that doesn't have to be focused upon. The point is those who follow the Veda but don't see Krishna, they become bound by those same rules that they follow, and those keep them in the material world. Right? They'll be in the material world in a nice situation. Right? Don't forget that. That we should not forget. Because those who are endeavoring very greatly for material facility and perfection, the only way to get it is through the Veda. But the point is by following all those rules that you get all that from the Veda, you're still bound here, because that's your point. Your only interest is the facilities offered by the Veda. Therefore, you are bound by it. Right? They want karma, they want jnana, they are bound by that, and they remain in the material world. But these are very, because we give different perspectives on something depending upon what is our purpose in presentation, that sometimes they seem that they're different. No, it's called vichar. It is different varieties of focus on the same, the same points. Different perspectives then give us a different, broadens our understanding. So what is always kept as core is, if it's in connection with Krishna, it's useful. And if it's not in connection with Krishna, then it's not useful at all. Right? That's the essential point. Right? So therefore, the principle of yukta vairagya is it's connected to Krishna, it's useful. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's still not useful. Right? So the point is it's not that, we don't follow the Veda because we follow yukta vairagya, therefore we can use modern in Krishna's service. But the point is modern, also not connected to Krishna, is also useless. Does that make sense? So when you're going out of your door and wondering whether you should put on the Nikes or the Adidas, what is your purpose? Is it Krishna? If it is, yukta vairagya. If it's not, you're just as bound as anyone else. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself because you come here in the morning that the rest of the day that what you do has any connection with Krishna. Right? If this is your focus, this is your inspiration, don't worry about it. Because this is what's going to take your attention. So you do your work, you take care of other mundane things, but you're very happy to get back to association of devotees, chanting, and all those kind of activities. Then you don't worry about it. But if you sit at your house and make up a philosophy how you're fine sitting there, then we make this statement. Then you are bound by the material energy because it's not connected to Krishna. Right? That is the point. So the idea is here, this is the philosophy. You remember Krishna, you're connected to Krishna, you're fine. You don't connect it to Krishna, you're not fine, no matter how well you can speak. Because all these other great philosophers, they are great. They get down to refining fine technical points. And still they're bound. So simply an emotional, retaliation to, what about this Prabhu? Oh, don't be fanatic. Don't think that actually made you liberated or any more devotional. The statement itself, what does don't be fanatic, what has that got to do with devotional service? Because what is fanatic? Fanatic means what I'm not willing to do, that's fanatic. Right? That's the bottom line. What actually is fanatic is following the Vedas or anything else, any other rule, and not connecting it to Krishna. That's fanatic. So you can also be a modern fanatic. Oh, you have to get your degree, or you have to do this, or you have to be socially fit in. We have to fit in, Prabhu. This is fanatic. It's just a different kind. And because many people say this, we don't think of it like that. Like you're all sitting here, and it's cold, but not so cold. To me, it's really cold. When you come from 44 degrees up north, and down here, this is freezing. To you, it's a nice day. The sun came out. You know what I'm saying? So because everybody here thinks it's not cold, so cold, then everybody says like that. You know what I'm saying? But in the same way, it's just because everybody else buys the, don't be fanatic, Prabhu, or we're being practical, Prabhu, like that. And, this is not about Prabhu, Prabhu. This is, we're just saying like that, So, does that make sense? So, we're not being like that, but it doesn't make it any better. Right? Reality is reality. That's the point. What's real, we're not accepting as real. What's not real, we're saying is real. So that's why these verses are given by the personified Veda, so we can tell the difference. Material world exists. What you think about it, that's the illusion. It's here. This mic, that dead matter is here. Now you use it for Krishna, then you get out of the material. You don't use it for Krishna, that's Maya. Not that it doesn't exist, it's there. So your Maya is right there. It's solid, observable matter. At the same time as that same matter engaged in Krishna's service with the right mentality, then that will free you from material existence. So these contradictions then sometimes make it very difficult. But the point is so in this we make these strong statements, okay? Because to write off the modern culture doesn't take much. One paragraph, a few sentences is enough. Right? You're dealing with animal culture. To write off animal culture is very easy. But to write off the Vedic, these people are smart. They're not just giving emotional responses when somebody pokes their attachments. They're giving very logical, very, hair-splitting arguments. Therefore, you have to spend, four pages dealing with it. Does that make sense? So this doesn't mean that the Vedic culture, therefore, is not useful or is bogus. It means Vedic culture not used for Krishna is useless. Right? Those who are pious will say, what's not Vedic is useless, and what's Vedic is useful. But the devotees take it a step farther. If it's not in connection with Krishna, yet we agree that the Vedic is more valuable than the non-Vedic. But even that not used for Krishna is useless, because the ultimate principle is what's used for Krishna, that's useful. Right? Because for the devotees, the material world is still Krishna's material world. It still exists. It's still to be used for Krishna. It's just inferior stuff. Right? You go to a specialized market, you get some very special high quality goods, that's very nice. But if you don't have that, you go down to the local, whatever it is, store, and pick up whatever you got there and use that for Krishna. Right? But it's not that because you got the quality stuff, if you don't use it for Krishna, it's still okay. Right? Or because you got the local stuff because you're just being practical and you still don't use it for Krishna, that's also now fine. Simply because I know these two mantras. Don't be fanatic, Prabhu, or I'm just being practical, or I'm just being real, three mantras. Does that make sense? These are very, very important points that make the difference. Otherwise, what happens is from this we go, oh, see, Vedic stuff is useless. No. It says what's not connected to Krishna is useless. Because otherwise, what's your alternative? What does the modern have to offer you? Right? What's modern food? What is the modern diet? Junk's one thing. Some people eat raw. Some people eat organic. Some people eat very, hot cuisine. I don't mean by temperature. You know what I'm saying? What's modern? What is it? Clothes? I was in the airport yesterday. I was watching. Anything from complete absolute slobs to very well-dressed gentlemen. And everything in between. What is it? What is the standard? So basically it means whatever I feel like doing that no one else is really going to criticize, or at least the people within the circle that I worry about are going to criticize, that's modern. Think about it. Where do you fit in? Right? You shave your head, make a mohawk, make it orange, and go to some part of the city, and there's people that do that. You'd fit right in. So when you say, I got to fit into what? That's my question. What is it that we're fitting into? What is that? What does it look like? It doesn't exist. Because out there you have Christians, you have Protestants, you have Catholics, you have the Jews, you have the Arab cultures, you have your East Bloc cultures, you have so many cultures. Which one are you fitting into? You speak Greek? You speak Italian? I think there's neighborhoods here where there's markets, right? So which one are you fitting into? Safeway is from America. It's not Australian. You know what I'm saying? Like that. If you're eating widgety grubs, hey, now that's Australian. Like that. But otherwise, what came from here? So how are you fitting in? Ask the Abbos, do you fit in? Maybe not. So this whole concept is just illusory. It's just an element to try to keep us
from becoming serious, becoming focused. So Srila Prabhupada has taken the Vedic literatures, then describe the Vedic society, the Vedic civilization is based on Brahminical culture. The perfection of Brahminical culture is Vaishnavism. Because everything is then directed at the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So that is the viewpoint. It's very simple, it's very straightforward. Prabhupada gave us a very nice formula, a very nice structure. Prabhupada said, fill it in. So in filling it in, then that doesn't mean then you change the structure. It simply means with that understanding that it's connection to Krishna, that's how I fill it in. Right? I don't understand the structure. How will I fill it in? But the structure is connected to Krishna. That's the main thing. Based on the how you say structure as given by the Vedic literatures. Right? Because there's an essence, there's a purpose there. That's what's essential. Not the very fine little techniques or details. That's nice, that's very developed. In other words, the philosophy is simple, the lifestyle is simple. Simple can also be sophisticated. Right? It doesn't have to be unsophisticated. So as we become more sophisticated, still the principle is simple. It still works. But if we become sophisticated and then our system becomes complex, then we've missed the point. Does this make any sense? Like that. I have a bit of a problem. I'm not sure what to do. We can either end class now or I have to go to the bathroom and come back. Okay, just to somehow or another seem to have contacted a urinary infection, which makes it you have to go very often to the bathroom. Okay, so I'll be back in 5 minutes. This is a very, very essential point, because we don't want to lose anything that can actually be connected to Krishna. So that means any opportunity that should be taken. So Srila Prabhupada goes to great efforts to explain to us about the Vedic culture, about the Brahminical culture, so that we accept the principle of it. The whole point of the Vedas is how the living entity can elevate themselves from a conditioned position back to Godhead. Right? That's its whole point. Because there are six kinds of like mentalities that are not interested in this, right? We're not counting the animals. The six kinds. So therefore they have all these philosophies that we just talked about. Those who believe everything comes from atoms, right? Like your modern science. I think that's the Vaisheshikas. Then you have those who work on logic, those who work on good karma, those who work on the impersonal concept. So they all misinterpret this Vedic understanding, because its purpose is to go back to Godhead. So therefore, they're basing their philosophy on the same verses we are, right? We take Bhagavad Gita, and it's obvious, Krishna is God, we're his servants. But to these other six schools, it's not obvious. The Mayavadis take the same Gita, they preach it as much or more than we do. Does that make sense? So what you're throwing out is the bogus mentalities, not the rules. Right? Because the rules are the same ones, the shlokas are the same ones that we follow. Does that make sense? Now in this, if you take, so for those who have these other perspectives, then there are so many aspects of the Veda then which they can use. Right? Other ages, they're proper. The yajna in previous ages, at the end of the yajna, Vishnu himself personally would come down and attend the yajna. So the yajna is fine for that, but in this age it's not so important. We do a little bit of sacrifice for initiation for samskaras, that's nothing. We set up in half an hour yajna and then go away. These other ones, they take, 6 months, 9 months to set up. Right? And then they'll be going for months or years. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we mean by we're not into karmakanda yagyas. What we do is no one should ever think that it's a karmakanda yagya. Right? It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't match. Prabhupada has already reduced it. The acharyas have already reduced. So what they give is not the Vedas that they're talking about that is rejected. They're talking about those extra rules and regulations for those who do not see things in a devotional perspective. That's what's being rejected. Does that make sense? Like in the Gita, then in the sixth chapter, Krishna is describing dhyana yoga. Right? And the terminologies being used there are the same that they use in Patanjali's yoga. The asta means the, what do you call it? Asta? Astanga yoga. It's the same. But we use the last two as dhyana yoga. The first six, we have our own form. Right? Our own forms. The same six are there, but we use them within our own sadhana. We don't use the hatha yoga and the prana, you know, how you say prana, what do you call that? Yeah, but what do they call that yoga? You know, the raja yoga and all these, we don't use those. They're just different ways of applying these same principles of yoga. So we're using just those last two. Because that is, dhyana means meditation on Krishna, and samadhi, complete absorption in Krishna. Everything before that is material. Right? So we have things that even in the beginning, they're directly connected. Right? Because it's not, okay, reject what's unfavorable to remembering Paramatma. No, it's reject what's unfavorable for being able to sit down and do your hatha yoga and your pranayama. Right? Which ultimately is for the purpose of dhyana, so that are connected. Does that make sense? But we deal with Krishna from the beginning. So it's much more efficient, it's much more streamlined. But it doesn't mean it's not existent, it's not thrown out. Right? Does that make sense? Prabhupada has already given us, now can anybody say that when Prabhupada was here, we didn't have brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas? Right? Can anyone say he didn't talk about Brahmins or had devotees who were Brahmins? Okay, so that's 5 out of 8 of the Varnashram. And the most important 5 out of the 8. So to say Prabhupada didn't care for Varnashram? Prabhupada threw out Varnashram? Where did the New Yorkers from the Lower East Side figure out brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprastha, sannyas? Right? It was on the back of one of their organic orange juice boxes or something. You know, Whole Earth catalog maybe or something. Zap Comics maybe that had it in it or something. Does that make sense? So that means Prabhupada gave it. Then when but it's enough because it's the Brahminical culture. That's the essence of the whole Vedic society, is the Brahminical culture. Varnashram is then this bigger form, because that's what the Pancharatra uses. The Pancharatra, which is the essence of the Vedas, uses these 5. It doesn't really consider Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They can take part, but it's not specifically the Pancharatric process as part of the Vedic. Right? So the Pancharatra is Veda that's specifically only connected to Krishna. Therefore it's known as Ekayana. Pancharatra. Right? You have all the Vedic rules, those that only apply to worship of Vishnu, those are the Pancharatra. Right? Does that make sense? So that's basically what we work with. That's our lifestyle. Now, if you make money as a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, you just add that in. That's an occupational consideration. That's an economic consideration. It doesn't affect your Brahminical viewpoint of everything's connected to Krishna. It doesn't affect, you know, as such that you are in your varna, I mean in your ashram. Does that make sense? You're a grihastha, you know, just doing temple services, or you're a grihastha and you live outside, still the same principles of Grihastha Ashram apply. You're going to say, well, someone goes to the temple more, someone doesn't go, but being in the temple offering artik is something Grihasthas do? No, Grihasthas spend time with family. So how does that change? That doesn't change. The quality of how you'll engage in your family life doesn't change. It's just a matter of how much time you can spend in the temple. But the actual quality of life itself doesn't change. Right? So these understandings we can see is that we're simply taking that foundation. This is the main foundation, these five aspects of the Vedic culture. Because this is where the dynamic aspect is. Brahmins are absorbed in Brahman. They're absorbed in the Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's what we do. It doesn't matter who we are, what our occupation is. That's what all devotees do. Right? That's why devotees are said to be Brahmins. Right? Then, accordingly, you're either unmarried, married, retired, or, you know, sannyas. Right? So that goes on. And our devotional service goes on. So you're only adding other things to this main principle. It's not a main principle. You add, okay, I'm an administrator instead of, you know, a pujari. How does that change your whole devotional outlook? Right? It doesn't. Or I'm a business person. It doesn't change. Therefore, adding these other three is not a big deal. It's not like something new, something completely starting from scratch. If you have 5 out of 8 things, you generally say you have quite a bit. Right? You know what I'm saying? You'd say quite a lot is there. Right? It's more than half. And of that, it's the most important ones. Because Prabhupada says the varnas is the social, you know, position, and the ashrams are spiritual. So spiritual is always more important than social. Right? So right there, and then of the social, you have the one that's the most spiritual. So, but just by weight, they're so much more important. Right? As far as we're talking in line with devotional service and the viewpoint of seeing everything in connection to Krishna. Okay. Keep your fingers warm. Oh, is this standard? You keep them over here?
No, they just fall from there. They fall from there.
Oh, they put in the corners and then they fall off. Okay. Wait. Let's bring that back here. Vedic vision. Okay. I thought it said North Face or something. Actually, they might catch on if they figured out how many devotees are there and they have cold fingers, right? So, this, we have to be very, very careful then, very intelligent, right? In applying what Prabhupada gives us in the life. Because if we go through it, we see he just talks so much about the importance of the culture, the Brahminical culture, the Vedic culture. But he warns us that just because you're following it doesn't mean it's spiritual. Right? Like that. Nowadays you don't have as much, but before you used to have, you know, the fads, right? You know, I remember when your Bundys were the fads. So, you know, everybody had the Bugle Bundy, or, you know, someone had the beads, you know, big neck beads, huge neck beads, you know, that was the thing. Or choppa beads. I remember one time somebody had it like this big, you know, it's like you bring them in a suitcase, you know. Hare Krishna. You know, like this guy, you know, and then all the brahmacharis are going, woo, wow, so advanced, you know. So, you know, that kind of a thing, you know. So you have your fads. Oh, it's nice because it's focused on Krishna. The reason that you're doing it is there's some connection to Krishna. Therefore, it was nice. But just that you have the monster beads or this or that, that doesn't make you Krishna conscious. That's the mistake. Right? That's the mistake. If that's what you think, now that I got that, now I'm advanced. No. It's because I just want to do everything in connection to Krishna, and according to my sophistication, and I think, you know, this is, brings me closer to Krishna. That's nice. But as soon as we think, because I have this, now I'm Krishna conscious, then you've missed the point. So we can see is that what Prabhupada is talking about is something very, very fine here. So to avoid the one thing, then he keeps it simple. That doesn't mean he throws out the Vedic culture. Otherwise, why is he talking about it? So, but the point here is that Vedic, real Vedic culture is what is Vedic that's connected to Krishna. Right? And for the purpose of preaching, you know, in this kind of environment. But it's there in any of the Vedic environment, is Yukta Vairagya. Right? The Vedic principle is Yukta Vairagya. It's not a modern concept. You have to understand it's a Vedic concept. But if you go, we have a predominantly Vedic culture, everything that you're, you know, how you say, engaging is Vedic. Does that make sense? But what standard it is, just like business is Vedic, right? Where did economics come from? Who took over from Alan Greenspan? You know, did he make up economics? Did Alan Greenspan make it up? You know, who made up economics? You know, we're saying modern. You know, the Romans had the stock market. So that means you're dealing with this old, archaic, 2,000-year-old economic system. I mean, you can't get more out of it than that, right? Does that make sense? But you say it's modern. Because whatever's being used, that you call modern. But its origin, so if something works today, it's Vedic, why, what's the problem? Right? So the idea then is you're taking something that is, to be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? Engaging that in Krishna's service, that's the perfection. Right? It's just like this. If you could offer, you know, things to Krishna on a gold plate, or you could offer them on an iron plate, which would you take? Okay. Now, if you had, a situation, you could offer something that's Vedic to Krishna or something modern to Krishna, which would you offer? Yeah, it took a little longer to answer, right? Right? Now, more difficult. If you had a lifestyle that you were going to engage your body, mind, and words, that whole lifestyle, would you take Vedic or modern? Okay, that's because now you know the answer. If we had asked you that one first, then it might not have come so easy. Does this make sense? The whole point is why would you use something less inferior more? So, therefore, business is Vedic. The concept comes from God. Economics, that I have something valuable, I change it for something valuable. That's a Vedic concept. That comes from God. Right? That's relationship. I have something to offer, you have something to offer. We can make a deal. It doesn't come from modern man. Right? So, now, a Brahmin, he would be engaged in studying, teaching, doing deity worship, you know, yajana, yajana, what's it? Patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, pratigya. So he would be doing these things. If there's a problem in doing these things, maybe he takes up business. That's yukta vairagya. It's a Vedic principle. It's always been there. It's not something new that modern man has figured out. You know? It wasn't, because Manu mentions this, he goes to great lengths, there's a whole chapter just to describe this principle. Right? He describes how everybody should do, what they should do, why they should do it. But then he describes, if you can't do that, then do this. If you can't do that, then do this. Point is for every rule that's there, there's also a rule that describes the exception when the rule can't be followed. So this principle is Vedic. Where is it in modern? You know what I'm saying? Where is that broadness? Where do you have a strong set of rules, but there's so many alternatives you could do? Is that in the conservatives? No. The liberals, they don't have any rules. So it means modern doesn't have this concept. It's a Vedic concept. Right? Now, it also states, along with as there is every rule, there's an exception. It also mentions that if you could follow the main rule and you don't, you stick to following the exception, that's wrong. Because the point of human life is elevation, progression, moving forward. So to simply get caught in the day-to-day life because it's easy, then that's not human. That's what animals do. Every day, day in, day out, same thing, right? These same pigeons come and walk in the same place, same time. You can set your watch to when they're sitting outside. Right? So that's animal life. Human life is progressive. Human life is intelligent. You have the good opportunity, you take it. You don't have, you take next best. But if you can go between next best and best, which would you take? Best. So that means why? Because you're convinced that best is best. But unless you're convinced that the Vedic, as given by Srila Prabhupada, is best, then how you'll take it? You won't take it. Best means what I learned from my mommy. Basically. Or anything I picked up on the way, or things I didn't like that my mommy did that I prefer to do. But in other words, what you figured out well before you showed up here on this doorstep. Right? So that's the whole point. Do you want to? Is that your identity? Is that where you want to stay? Is that what you want to be? Or do you want to be better? So better then means we take these instructions, we read these books, we try to apply them in our life. In other words, we apply them. Whether the situation it's applied in is idyllic, that's another thing. Just like this. Okay, let us say I have a screw. I have to get the screw unscrewed. Okay, now, what's the ideal tool to use if I want to undo this screw? A screwdriver. Okay. Yeah, an electric screwdriver. Okay. Okay. Now, let's say, and any particular brand? Or anything. Yes, of course. So now let us say we don't have the electric screwdriver. Then what do we do? Then those old-fashioned, archaic, you know, manual ones, right? And let's say we don't have that. Stick, knife, yeah. Like that, don't let your wife find out about it. But, you know. So, you know, it just keeps going down till you find anything that's kind of like flat on one side. Because the principle is something flat goes into a screw, you can apply, you know, pressure on it and turn it. That's the principle. Then you have that which works in the best way, is perfect for. Then you just have what works. That's Yukta Vairagya. It's a Vedic principle. So if you had the electric screwdriver there and you're fiddling around with a butter knife, you know, and just say, oh, don't be fanatic, you know, like, yeah, we got to use the electric, you know, drill or, you know, like that, you know, then it's foolish. You know, that's the point. When we put it into a different example, we can see it in its natural life, light. But when we apply it in our own life, I hear these absurd comments constantly. Oh, I'm just being practical. You could do better. Because generally practical means I'm getting the result done, so I'm getting a better job done if I did the Vedic, but no. What are they getting done? They have money, they lose the family. They have money, they lose the Krishna consciousness. They have money, they lose them both. Hey, you know, that's real efficient. Does that make sense? So these kind of things, we have to be very, very careful that Srila Prabhupada is giving us something very, very special, something we can use. So we should analyze it very nicely, right? In other words, what can be used, don't reject. You know, so we're saying Yukta Vairag, why should I reject? Why should we reject Vedic if we can use it? But the main point of it, the Vedic is the principle it's based on, right? In other words, let's look at this. If something can work from the ideal down to the non-ideal, what holds all that together? What makes it consistent? The principle, right? Otherwise, someone who knows, you know, the mechanics, they know what a screw is, what a screwdriver does. Then, when you say you got to open, I have to open this screw, they'll find something to get it open. But the person who doesn't actually understand the mechanics, they'll say, "Oh, I couldn't find it. So did you open the screw? I couldn't find a screwdriver." No, right? Does that now do you understand the position? If the Vedic is rejected for modern, that means you don't actually understand what you're doing. Otherwise, the principle that makes it work, if you're accomplishing it, that principle is Vedic. It's not modern. Right? Wheels are modern. Right? You know, the things on the side of Arjuna's chariot were square, right? You know? Isn't it? You know? Not only, what is it, you know? Einstein figured out, hey, if we made them round, it would, you know, you'd be a smoother ride, you know? Does that make sense? What has changed, you know? That you're going in a car, you know, in a vehicle that you can steer it. That's new. Food goes in your mouth. When you sleep, you like to lay down, right? It's a new invention of, you know, first class, you know, on the airplanes. You know, everybody else stands up in the corner like horses, right? Does that make sense? You know, you're cold, you put on something warm. You know, generally even have a tendency towards, you know, just the principle of something that holds warmth, right? You know, you brush your teeth. That's a modern concept, right? Like that. Well, probably in the Western world it is, but in India it's a little bit older. Right? I'm just now figuring out, just recently, that actually there's more bacteria on your tongue than there is on your teeth and gums. So the bacteria that makes all the cavities, there's more of it on your tongue, but they haven't figured out how to clean the tongue yet, right? In India, I have a tongue cleaner, but they haven't worked that one out yet. Yeah, on the thing, they got a little rougher back, so, you know, it's not as good, but it does something. As long as you rinse your mouth, but if you only rinse your mouth once or twice, then it still sits around. You got it off the tongue, now it's on your teeth, right? You know, maybe that's why they do it, because they figured out they can get more on the teeth, so then you can... Yeah. Okay, yeah, good business. That was clever. Okay. You understand? So the point is there isn't anything new. This idea that it's new, it's different, it's something like that. What's new about here? It's cold here. It's cold in the Himalayas, you know? So what is different about here that's new, different, special? If you really think about it, what is it? No. That's the whole point. So, therefore, if we start with Prabhupada said these things, we try to apply it in our life in a way that it's not the form that's important, but the principle or the purpose of it is what's important. Then, according to the situation, we use the best possible material arrangement. Right? Then, that's what we use. Does that make sense? That is the Vedic principle. So that's what's being explained here, is that whatever it is, right, the materialists are all bound in the material world, whether they're Vedic or not. So only the devotees are free, right? But at the same time, as if the devotees identify in the culture of the materialists, it may also not be so beneficial for them. Right? Right. Does that make sense? Any questions on this? Right. No? Okay, so we'll end here. It's late. Probably time for, you know how you say, we have our priorities, right? Now it's time for prashad. So. Okay. It's time for service. Right? Okay, so we'll end here. Jai. Grantaraj Shri Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Natai Govara Premanandi.